as we continue in this study about what happened on the day before the Christ was crucified. In Luke 23, and let's begin our reading in verse number 39. And the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." He put that little other phrase there, "and us," right there. "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying," notice that Christ didn't answer here. It was that the other thief answered him and said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" And here's a good picture. Here are three people hanging on the cross. They're on a different cross, of course. One in the middle of that is the Savior. But on either side of him are two thieves that deserve exactly what they're getting. They deserve the punishment that they're getting. But one of these thieves rebuked the other thief and said that we deserve to be here. In verse 41, "But and we indeed justly." That's a great statement. "We indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath nothing amiss." And I know he can't point to Christ, but he can gesture toward him with his head. That's all I can see. In verse 42, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, it's amazing that the conversation changed. Now, what I'm referring to is the fact that in verse 39, the Bible said one of the malefactors. Didn't say both of them, one of them. In verse number 40, it says, "The other answering rebuked him, said." If you would, look in the book of Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse number 44. Matthew 27 and verse number 44. The Bible says here in this place, as it gives a rundown of the different people that were mocking Christ as he was hanging on the cross. And the Bible says that the chief priest mocked him. The Bible said those that walked by, they mocked him. The Bible said that the thieves, in verse 44, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." So the word there is not thief. The word is thieves, telling us that both of the thieves were mocking Christ, telling him that it's, you need to come down off the cross and save yourself and save us. But here in the book of Luke, we find that one of the malefactors had changed his mind. This is a marvelous thing. You know, think about this. All of us were lost at one point. All of us. We might have mocked Christ, just like this man mocked Christ. But this man had a change of mind. In verse number 42, when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Both of these thieves railed on Christ at the very beginning. What is so amazing about this is that both of the thieves mocked Christ the same way. But one of the thieves had a change of mind. So it tells me this. It doesn't make any difference at all what you have done in the past. It doesn't make any difference at all. You might have mocked Christ. You might have been a thief. You might have been a murderer. You could do all kinds of bad, wicked, wicked things. You could even be a good person. But when it come down to it, one of these thieves turned to the other one and began to say, "What are you talking about? Don't you fear God? Think of this man." This man was hanging on the cross, and he was headed for a sure death. Now, at the very start, this man that was hanging on the cross made fun of Christ just like the other thief did. Same way. But as he hung there, and as the reality of his soon coming death came upon him, he began to have a different thought. This tells me that every sinner has to come to the place of realizing that they will face death, and that it's not too late, as long as they're not already dead, to change their mind. Think of that. Here was a man who was a thief. He had done all kinds of bad things. The Bible says that he was even guilty of insurrection. That is, he was against the government. And they were going to kill him and get him out of the way. But regardless of all that he had done in the past, regardless of all of that, this man turned to Christ and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This is ought to be a message of great hope, that it doesn't make any difference what you have done in the past. It really doesn't make any difference at all. What makes a difference is, what are you doing now? Do you still deny? Do you still blame Christ? Do you still want relief from this world? Notice, the Bible says in verse 39, and one, I'm reading Luke 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and others." And he says, "If you're the Christ." So there's two different perspectives here going on. One thief does not really know whether Jesus is the Christ or not. He doesn't know that. Notice there that there is a difference in words. There's a difference in Jesus, and there's a difference in the word Christ, because Christ means Savior. Jesus is Emmanuel. That's His name. It's a different thing altogether. But He said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." This man knew he was guilty, you see. He knew he was guilty. When he said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us," he wasn't asking for salvation. He was asking to come down off the cross. He was asking for his life not to end. That's what he was asking. If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Did Jesus have to be saved? That's a silly question. Why, no? Because He is the author of salvation. He's the giver of salvation. But verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" Why did this man come to this place? Because as he was hanging on the cross he began to see and understand that his death was coming very quickly. Sometimes a person on the cross might hang there for a couple days. As they had more and more agony placed upon them. Both of these thieves had their legs broken that day to hasten their death. But when they came to Jesus and saw He was dead already, they didn't break His legs, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. You see, this thief really understood that he deserved his punishment because he was a sinner. He understood that. There's such a difference in these two thieves. One never did get the fact that he was guilty. The other thief saw he was guilty. People are exactly the same way today. Whatever a person does, they're held accountable to God for it. But the person that admits that, admits before God Almighty that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that person can trust Christ and be saved. But the other person that does not admit that anything is their fault. Have you ever met anybody like that? That nothing is ever their fault? Nothing. I mean, the Bible talks about people just exactly the same way. It's not my fault. I didn't do anything. And their hands are covered in blood. Their hands, they got sin all over them. The Bible talks about a wicked woman. And it talks about the woman that's guilty of all of her adulteries and all of her fornications and all that kind of stuff. And yet she says, I didn't do anything. And that's typical of men, too. I don't want to blame just the women. That's typical of men as well. So both of these people come to the place of understanding. This man exactly came to the place of understanding that he was lost. That he needed to be saved. You know, to some, the preaching of the cross of Christ is nothing but foolishness. To some people, it is. It's lunacy. It don't make any sense at all. Because people say, he died 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with me today? People will say that. But here, we see the power of God's salvation. We see the power that is given in salvation. The power and the comfort there that this man had. And notice, and the Bible doesn't mention this at all, but I will. One of these thieves, with the one that was lost, he had no comfort at all. He had no peace at all. I don't know which one of these thieves had their legs broke first. I don't know which one did. Maybe it was in unison. I don't know. But I know that both of these men, when they saw the soldiers come and they were going to break their legs, I know they knew what was going to happen. I know they knew it. Because they were hanging there. They could not defend themselves at all. And when that soldier took that rod or whatever he used to break the leg, and he struck that leg, I guess he struck it, and he broke the leg, boy, you know, you could just feel that coming. You could just feel that. Just talking about it is enough. You could feel it coming. And I think both these thieves would know that pain was coming. But one of the thieves could find comfort in the fact that he was saved eternally. One of the thieves, however, could not have any comfort at all. Think about this. I know that all of us that are here tonight are coming to the place of death. Now, that is a reality. If Christ doesn't come first, we will die and then go to be with the Lord. But you know, I'm not afraid of that. I'm afraid of the pain that we have just before we get there. I'm not afraid of death at all, because my death has been conquered by the blood of Christ. I know it has. But I know also that pain is a part of dying. I know that that's so. But I would think that when both of these thieves had their legs broken, that one was filled with anguish but one was filled with comfort because he was basing his hope in what Christ had already told him. And Christ has told us one guy this, told one fellow that. He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. It's amazing to me that the one thief really understood what Christ, he really understood where Christ is going. Because he said in verse 42, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I think he really understood Christ is the Messiah. And he is the one that will establish his kingdom. One thief looked for Christ to come down off the cross and establish his kingdom for his own well-being. But the other thief did not expect Christ to come down off the cross. See that? One thief knew, as he looked at things, he could only see Christ coming down off the cross and establishing his kingdom. But the other thief didn't think that way at all. When he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't expect Christ to come down from the cross. He expected Christ to go to his kingdom. And that's the truth. This is a key difference. Think about it. That upon this earth, there is, I would think, little hope for anything at all that is spiritual. Upon this earth, the only time that we have is with the time with the Lord. In our prayer life, in our study life, that's all we've got. We have nothing else. The kingdom that Christ will establish is away. It's in heaven. It's away from us. Listen, do you expect good things in this life, or do you expect good things after you die? And the fact is that everybody here will come to a place of death if the Lord will come back first. That's the way it is. I wish I could tell you different, but I can't. I tell you the truth. This thief, the second thief, the one that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, expected to die. And he would die that day. Both of these men would die that day. In verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? When the first thief reproved Christ, the second thief had nothing to say. But the second thief did say, in verse number 40, dost not thou fear God? And what a story that is. How that this thief was a witness as he was hanging on the cross for his own sins. Well, what a story that is. Isn't that the way we ought to be? Isn't that the way we ought to be? Are we going to have to wait till we're perfect before we can ever witness to anybody? If you wait that long, you'll be in heaven. You will be. Whether or not these two thieves knew each other beforehand is immaterial, but the fact is that they both knew what kind of person the other thief was. Both of them knew that. But what was it? What was it that made this second thief change? What was it that touched his heart? We could say it's something miraculous, and it was. What caused this second thief to change his mind and draw near unto the Lord? I think this, in verse 34 of Luke 23, I think that he saw the way that Christ was crucified. I think that he saw with his own eyes that Jesus was innocent. I believe he saw that. I believe he knew that. The bearing of Christ as he was hanging on the cross. But then he heard these words from Christ when Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These are not empty words. These are words of witness. I think this one thief, as he hung on the cross, at first he mocked Christ just like the other one. But after these words were said, there was nothing else that he could say. This thief came to the place of seeing that Christ was his only hope. And this thief came to see that his only hope was not in this world. Get that. That is major. It's a major point. That this one thief, he finally came to the place to see that his hope was not in this world. Many times, people want good things down here upon this earth, and they complain and riot if they don't get it. But listen, the best that we can ever imagine will come to us after this world ends. After we leave this world, the best is yet to come. If you're trusting in what you have today, if you're looking for the government to straighten anything out, well, I think it's a helpless case. It's a hopeless case. We need God. We need God Almighty to bless us, to help us to be what He wants us to be. Not to sit back on our laurels and say we're somebody, but we need to trust in the Almighty God. We that are saved need to do that. This one thief came to see that he needed to trust only what Christ said. What's the difference in the two thieves? Was their actions any different? No. Was their penalty any different? No. They're exactly the same. The government was going to kill them both to get them out of the way. I think that the government was right in pronouncing judgment upon them. I do. I think they were both getting exactly what they deserved. They worked for it. They earned it. But one thief received forgiveness, but the other one didn't. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This tells me something. That there's always room, there's always a time, there's always a place to tell God's good word to somebody. There's always that opportunity. You don't have to make it. Listen, did Jesus Christ make an opportunity to speak to this man? Did Jesus Christ, as he hung on the cross, turn to either one of these men and say, "Okay, now you guys, you listen up. I got something to tell you." Did Jesus do that? No. What did he do? He publicly prayed. He said, well, he bowed his head and he prayed. And both those men saw it. And the other people saw it too. Those people that walked by and wagged on him. And the scribes and Pharisees, they made fun of him. But Jesus was busy doing what God wanted him to do. He was not talking to them, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he wasn't, Jesus Christ was not talking to them. But they heard it. They heard it anyway. And that's what counts. It's what people see in our lives. Our witness doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering, but it's got to be there. It's got to be there. Did anything in the appearance of either of these thieves change? I think there were some subtle differences. Because the one thief that trusted Christ, he had a peace that descended upon him. But the other thief did not. In the book of Romans 10 and verse number 10, read this very carefully. Romans 10 and verse number 10. Romans 10, verse number 10. The Bible said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's exactly what this thief did. The thief believed in his heart, and he confessed with his mouth. That's exactly what it is. When a person truly and honestly before God, when they repent to God, they will make confession with their mouth. You don't have to force them. I mean, they will tell it. They will tell it. It's a part of being saved. One time, I remember a preacher telling about this. He told it on himself that he had gone into witnessing a person, and he had finally left, and he was very excited and happy because the person had just said that they were saved. That's a good thing to be happy about. It really is. But later, when he heard that the man only confessed Christ to get him out of the room, to get him to leave, and let the wind out of his sails, it will. You know, we don't need to be pushy like that. We need to be a good witness day by day. God knows what we want to do. God knows that. And he will make us a good witness. He will do that. Sometimes the words that you speak can have a bearing on other people that we don't know about. Sometimes it can. Just being true to whatever God wants you to be true to. Just be true to him. And God can make you a faithful witness. So I get all tongue-tied and all that. You know, whenever you come to the place that you have it all figured out, all wrote down in a package deal that you're handing out, and sometimes that's good to do that, but if you're just trying to follow a spiel, people know when they hear that. They know when it's right and when it's wrong. But they also know when you're real about it. They know that. They know when you're trying to be honest with them. They know that. They can tell. Death is coming very soon to both of these men. One thief does not show any remorse at all. The other thief does. In Luke 23 and verse number 41, this one thief confesses his sins to everybody. Now, the conversation, and I don't know how far apart the crosses are. I don't know. I would guess they're between here and the end, that side of the building, you could probably put three crosses, but it would be kind of tight. I guess if you moved over here, I guess that's about right. If you put them kind of close together, I guess. But Christ is in the middle. And all the uproar going on around him and all that talking, you think that this thief, when he said to Christ, he said, Lord, in verse number 41, when he said to the other thief, he said, we indeed justly. And he's hanging on the cross. He's giving his life. He said, he wanted this man to understand that. He said, and we are indeed justly. He said it loud enough that he could hear him over the uproar all around him. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He knew the innocency of Christ. He knew that. How did he know that? Had he been to the trial? Listen, he had heard these words of Christ. He had heard the words of Christ. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He had heard the words. He was just right there. The other thief heard too. Well, one thief believed and the other one didn't. He was actually saying here, this man hath done nothing amiss. This man, notice what he says, verse 41. Notice what he said here. When the one thief turned to the other and he said, but this man hath done very little wrong. Is that what he said? Shake your head, so I know you're hearing. No. This man did not say that. He said, this man hath done zero. Zero wrong. Nothing. Nothing amiss. He did nothing at all. We're the guilty ones, but he is innocent. Had he been to the trial? I don't think so. But he could tell by his bearing. He could tell this is the Son of God. He knew that. I believe he knew that. That he was looking at the Son of God. I believe he knew that. That he was looking at the Son of God as he was dying on the cross. But he also knew that the Son of God was innocent. Had done nothing at all wrong. Nothing at all. But he knew he was guilty. When he compared himself with Christ, there was a marked difference. I mean, there was a marked difference. Because as far as Christ is concerned, there's nothing there. But as far as he is concerned, there's everything that's piled up against him. And he is a wicked sinner. And he knows that it's so. It's amazing when you think about how the Holy Spirit of God deals with people. It's amazing. You would think that if this one thief was hanging there on the cross, that the words that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that would just be words spoken into the air. You would think that. With all the other racket going on around them, with all the mockings, and they were not mocking the two thieves. They were mocking Christ. It's a remarkable thing that Christ was innocent, and yet they were mocking him, telling him, come down off the cross. Save yourself and save us. It's amazing. The one thief heard it all. But he said, one thief said to the other one, what are you talking about? He is innocent, and we are the guilty ones. We're guilty. It's amazing how that the Holy Spirit of God lets God's words come forth to us regardless of what's going on around us. It's amazing. Sometimes people want a service to be conducted in a certain way. Sometimes when it comes invitation, I've heard people say, preachers say, every head bowed and every eye closed and everybody lift up your hands if you don't pray. You know, and that's all right if you don't do that. I don't do that. I'm looking right at your eyeball, you know. Because God doesn't need you to bow your head. God doesn't need everybody to be quiet. He doesn't need that. This one thief was saved when all that uproar was going on and when people were mocking Christ. Think of that. Christ didn't have to have things in a certain way, everything just right. No. But Christ could heal a man when he didn't expect him, when he didn't even expect to be healed. Christ could do that. Christ could still the waters when the disciples were in the ship and they thought they were going to drown any minute. I mean, and these were sailors. They'd been out on rough water before, but God is, he can do it. He didn't have to have things done a certain way, a certain place and all that. But this one thief, he heard the message of salvation even with all the confusion going on around him. You know what? Conviction and salvation is intensely personal. It is. It's very personal. Regardless of how many people are present, it comes down to just me and God. That's right. It comes down to just me and God. There's times when I was lost that I couldn't rest at night because of conviction. God was there confronting me, making me see that it was my sins. When I was saved, it was a very personal experience because I was saved, but nobody else was. The other people around me weren't saved. It was not as if heaven opened and God poured out and got everybody wet. No. It's that I was the one that received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was the one that was saved on that day. I think this thief, when he was saved, he knew a lot. In verse number 42, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This man knew many, many things right after he was saved. I think he was saved even before this. I think he was at the place of knowing that he was lost. And that's what it takes. The person knowing that they're lost and trusting Christ. And when he said to the one thief, he said, Christ is innocent, we're guilty. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was filled with knowledge of God. And next time, the Lord willing, we want to show the kind of knowledge that he had. And when you think about it, this thief on the cross, when he said these simple words, this simple little words, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew a lot of things. He knew where he was and who Christ was. And so we want to get into that next time, the Lord willing. And all of this just happens in an instant of time, anyway. And where did the thief learn all these things? Because he heard Jesus Christ pray, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." We'll stop our discussion right there. We'll take up in verse number 42 for next time, finding out what this person believed when he was saved. If you're